This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, one of the oldest and most beautiful golf courses in Wisconsin. The course was recently restored and recreated for a unique golf experience for both members and non-members alike. Lac La Belle is located in Oconomowoc, a convenient distance between Milwaukee and Madison. The semi-private golf club's grand opening will be on June 20th. That's coming up soon. Find out more on its website at clubatlaclabelle.com. And Gary D'Amato joins me now. I'm Rob Hernandez. This is Talking.Golf. And Gary, it's an exciting week because we've got golf on the horizon. We'll talk a lot about the golf that's on the horizon this week here in a few minutes. The PGA Tour returns, the Korn Ferry Tour returns. But as we look a little further on the horizon to the end of July, early August, there is a real exciting event that Killarney Golf Media, our parent company, is involved in. And it does something that I don't know if could be duplicated in any other sport. It brings the Badgers and the Golden Eagles of Marquette together in one location for a match. Tell us all about the Dairyland Duel, your story on our site this morning. But tell us more. What's going on between Wisconsin and Marquette?
Well, you're right, Rob. This probably would not go over very well with the basketball teams if they were involved. No love lost there, right?
That's right.
But it works in golf because the coaches, Michael Burson at Wisconsin and Steve Bailey at Marquette, are longtime friends dating back to even before the time they were assistant coaches at South Carolina for Burson and Northwestern for Bailey, respectively. They have some mutual friends. I think Steve Bailey worked in the AJGA for a while. And so they've known each other for a long, long time. And they've talked for several years about getting an alumni match going between the two golf programs. And they finally put it together this year with help from Mike Belosky, who played at Belo, played at Marquette, of course, and Garrett Jones played at Wisconsin. And so they're rounding up teams of 24 alumni. They're going to dress in their school colors and go at it in a match play format over 2 days up in Kohler. So it should be a lot of fun. I expect there to be a lot of good-natured ribbing and maybe some pretty good golf too.
It's funny because you think that guys that graduate college and go there, all over the country with their degrees, that it might be hard to get that many people to come back for an event like this. But it sure looks like at least initially the response has been pretty good.
I think so. Most of the guys who have stayed in Wisconsin or relocated fairly close, Illinois, there's a lot of former alums from both schools in the Chicago area. Those guys were, jump at the chance to come back and put on their school colors again and play. And then, there's a few guys who are flying in from other parts of the country. I think, especially it being the first one, I think there's probably guys are really excited to be able to face to connect with their old teammates and guys who have played in their respective programs, but also to compete against players they've known and competed against for years and years. So I think it's going to be a win-win, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's funny you referenced CJ Brock flying in from Dallas, so you're going back there a number of years. I mean, do you have any idea, talking to the two coaches, how deep into the alumni vault they're going to go to get guys to come play? Would somebody like Badger Bob Gregorski maybe be a part of this? I mean, you're talking, I believe 1983 was when Badger Bob was roaming the fairways for Dennis Tiziani at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't know how far back they go. Steve Bailey told me he has about 20 commitments, and he said he'll have no problem getting to 24. Michael Burson had 14 firm commitments and another half dozen guys who want to play and are trying to, work out their schedules. And then he's got to come up with just a few more. So not sure how far back they go, with Garrett Jones and Mike Belosky doing the recruiting, so to speak. I would imagine it's going to be heavy on guys who have played in those programs over the last maybe 10 or 12 years. But hopefully we'll see, hopefully we'll see a Mike Van Sickle or a Bob Gregorski or someone like that coming back.
Tell you what, there have been some great golfers that have come through this state, and it speaks to, I think, the coaching going back over time as well. There's been great coaches at both programs, even before, Steve and Mike got to town, and, there's been some great success. I had the honor of covering a lot of Dennis Tiziani's great teams back in the early 90s, and they had a great run, And, you know, lately, both programs have done real well recruiting, you know, beyond the borders of Wisconsin, and especially with Marquette going overseas for a couple guys. It really is interesting to see the evolution of Division I golf in the state, isn't it, Gary?
It really is. Both programs have grown leaps and bounds, and especially in recruiting, as you say. It used to be, you know, most of the guys on those teams came from probably within 50 miles of their respective campuses many years ago. And now, you know, they're going over, as you said, you know, Steve Bailey has gone over to the UK a number of times to recruit, and they're getting players from literally all over the world now. And it helps that golf is growing in other places too, but you know, there's a big junior golf scene now that's worldwide and global, instead of, as opposed to, you know, maybe 25, 30 years ago, you wouldn't find players in some of the countries that are producing players now.
And I know from, you know, following the high school recruiting in Wisconsin, even those kids that don't go on to play college golf at Wisconsin or Marquette, we're seeing a lot of them go to be students at those two schools. And Gary, I think one of the reasons that both programs are so, you know, attractive to kids coming in from places far, far away is because those degrees from those two schools are exceptional. And the life that these golfers lead after college is one that, you know, they can be proud of and that they've worked hard for. And I think it speaks to the academic reputation of both universities.
I agree, Rob. And as a side note, I'm really glad that Killarney Golf Media got involved on a sponsorship level, because the formal name of the event is the Dairyland Duel, presented by Wisconsin.golf. So, you know, it's good exposure for us. It's a great cause. And I know that, you know, both schools and especially both coaches are super fired up for this.
Now, last question on the Dairyland Duel, Gary, is because it's Marquette and Wisconsin, will there be a table at the awards ceremony where the winning coach can jump on top of and start riling up the fans, if there'll be fans, but just as a symbolic gesture in the spirit of Al McGuire from that infamous victory of Marquette over Wisconsin, with Kerry Hughes's parents, the Kim and Kerry Hughes's parents in the background, I believe, making a gesture. That will be one of the all-time great college basketball photos ever, right?
Oh man, that was a fantastic photo. And my first 2 years out of college, Rob, I worked in Freeport, Illinois, and the Hughes twins, their father owned a gas station in Freeport. That's what he did for a living. He was a gas station owner. And in his gas station, in the office, he had a giant reproduction of that photo blown up, hanging prominently in his gas station.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, yeah. Again, it's July 31st, August 1st are the dates this year for the Dairyland Duel, presented by Wisconsin.golf, and it'll be on the Irish course and the Meadow Valley's courses at the Irish course at Whistling Straits in Haven, and the Meadow Valley's course at Black Wolf Run in Kohler. And 48 golfers who call the University of Wisconsin or Marquette home during their college careers will be participating. And what will Steve Bailey and Mike Burson be doing? Will they be the kind of the de facto coaches of these guys? What's their role in this?
Yeah, I'm guessing they're just going to have a lot of fun and be coaches, and they're coming up with a traveling trophy of some kind, golf's equivalent of the Paul Bunyan axe, I guess. That's going to be go back and forth between the winning teams. Steve Bailey said it might be a milk jug. So whatever it is, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be a lot of fun for those guys, I'm sure.
Well, that's coming up here at the end of July. As golf continues to, I guess, not so slowly anymore, get back to normal, Gary, we've got PGA Tour golf, Korn Ferry Tour golf this week. The Charles Schwab Challenge begins Thursday down at Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas. Madison's very own Steve Stricker in the field. It's interesting to see this. They've expanded the field. This is normally an invitational, and they've got a larger field to accommodate more guys who have been inactive here for the last few months. But the field for this thing is pretty interesting, Gary. We've talked on our show before about the fact that the PGA Tour champions will not be getting back into action until late July. And so those guys have been off now, you know, for a number of months. And there'll be two guys in the field in addition to Steve Stricker. Bernhard Langer and Scott McCarron also competing down in Texas this week. I tell you, it's going to be really fun to see how competitive golf at that level comes back this week with the very eclectic field that they've got lined up here at Fort Worth, Texas.
Well, it's probably the best field Colonial's had in many years. The top five in the world ranking are playing, and 15 of the top 20. I mean, you're almost getting into major territory when you talk about those kind of numbers, you know, on players from the world rank, top echelon of the world ranking. So a lot of guys obviously very excited to play. I think it's very interesting that some of the guys who normally would bypass Colonial because it's pretty tight, and, you know, there's some dog legs that run out, and the Bombers who carry at 320 typically have, you know, a lot of them have bypassed this event, but they're all, or most of them anyway, are playing this week. So it's going to be interesting to see if we see a lot of two irons and three woods off tees, or if Brooks Koepka is going to pull out the driver and smash away.
What is your impression, Gary, about what we can expect from some of the golf's big names? A mid-season rust factor, it seems weird to be talking rust in June. I just obviously some of these guys have played in some exhibitions and the like, and I'm sure they've all been playing back home, but what do you think it's going to be like to try to get fired up again to be in competition, and everything counts again all of a sudden?
Yeah, I do expect there to be some competitive rust and some rust in some of the guys' games. You know, it's just like the off season, almost in any other sport. It's the guys who kept at it, worked out hard, trained, prepared. Those are the guys who are ready when the season starts. And I don't think it's going to be any different with the PGA Tour. I'm sure there are some guys who have worked very hard on their game over the last 3 months. And I'm sure there are some guys who haven't worked very hard on their game over the last 3 months. And I think we're going to see those extremes possibly in this tournament. So that's going to be something to keep our eyes on.
And then, of course, the Korn Ferry Tour was supposed to have restarted with some normal events, but sponsorship issues, Gary, with the developmental tours, I think, are really going to take a hit. And that was the case here to get the Korn Ferry Tour season restarted. They lost the tournament they had scheduled for this week. So what they did was I think the PGA Tour is funding this one. It's the Korn Ferry Challenge at the TBC Sawgrass, which tells you that this is entirely a PGA Tour production, trying to get the number one developmental tour that is aligned with the PGA Tour back in action. And, of course, both Wisconsin golfers who are fully exempt for 2020 and now into 2021, Dan Woltman and Jordan Niebrugge, will be in the field down at Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. I think as interesting as it will be to follow the PGA Tour, I think it'll also be interesting to see who drops down, plays on the Korn Ferry Tour. We talked earlier about initially Vijay Singh was in the field. He is not in the field for this event and in the final field. So that fuss kind of came and went. But I think there's some open qualifying for this tournament today, and they're back at it as well. What are you looking for in the other tours beyond the PGA Tour, Gary, as far as the restarting of, for example, this week, the Korn Ferry Tour?
Yeah, I read somewhere, Rob, that 15 PGA Tour winners are in the field in Korn Ferry this week. 15 guys who have won a total of 30 PGA Tour events.
Wow.
That's some pretty heavy-duty artillery for the Korn Ferry Tour, having that number of guys who have won on the PGA Tour in your field. So I expect that to be very, very competitive. I just saw, Rob, that I think I read today that the Evans Scholars Invitational, which has been held at the Glen Club, which is the nearest Korn Ferry Tour to us, is now going to be played in September at Chicago Highlands. So that tournament is back on the schedule, or has been moved back anyway, to September dates. So a lot of things to watch on that tour, too, with the younger players going toe-to-toe with some established PGA. I guess you could say stars at one point. Mike Weir's in the field this week, a Masters champion.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is something else. Well, and I had the opportunity for our Wisconsin.golf conversation this week to talk to Tess Hackworthy, the recent University of Wisconsin grad. She has conditional status on the Symetra Tour. She just got done in her professional debut, finishing, I believe it was tied for 34th at the Cobank Colorado Women's Open and earned $720. Not too bad for her debut. She is now off to the Women's All-Pro Tour, the WAPT, and that's now in Texas. It'll keep her from defending in the Wisconsin State Women's Open here next week, where she is the four-time defending champion. But I didn't realize, Gary, that the WAPT is now officially a feeder tour into the Symetra Tour, kind of like the Canadian Tour feeds into the Corn Ferry Tour, which feeds into the PGA Tour, the Symetra Tour, obviously the top developmental tour for the LPGA Tour. And the one thing in our conversation, Gary, that struck me, Tess, even though she has very conditional status, she went to the first stage of LPGA Tour qualifying school, made the 54-hole cut to play on Sunday. So, you know, she beat probably a good 200 to 300 other golfers that were in that field. They get usually in excess of 300 golfers, and only, I believe, the top 70 in ties make the cut for the final round. So she had pretty good status conditionally that way. But then there's still another stage of Q school plus the Q series. Gary, she's exempt in the field for all 10 Symetra Tour events remaining on the schedule, which doesn't happen very often. But let's not forget, the one thing that makes the you know, a lot of these tours what they are is the international flavor. And because of COVID-19, there's not a lot of international travel, and you may not see as many international players playing in United States-based developmental tours, and which is good news for Tess Hackworthy, but very much a change on the landscape for organized golf.
Yeah, to that point, Rob, I just saw something today that Justin Rose is going to sponsor seven women's tournaments in Europe on a developmental tour. He's putting up the purse, wow, or at least he has sponsors who are going to be putting up the purse. And so some of those players who might come over here and play on that WAPT, which I know very little about, by the way, are going to be staying in Europe and playing on this tour that Justin Rose is involved in. So hats off to Justin Rose for reaching out and supporting women's golf in Europe.
Well, and we haven't heard, the other thing Tess told me that I wasn't aware of and it hasn't been announced yet by the Symetra Tour is that the one tournament in Wisconsin, the PHC Classic, is not on the schedule. It was supposed to have been played August 7th through 9th, but she said in a conference call of players last week, they were told that one is off. Currently, according to the Symetra Tour website, the first event back will be July 24th through the 26th, the Firekeepers Casino Hotel Championship in Battle Creek, Michigan. But, you know, again, it goes back to some title sponsors can, you know, resume, others cannot. It's been a heck of a time trying to get casinos and hotels, you know, back open and back to normal in Wisconsin. So I'm sure, you know, the Potawatomi Resort and Casino down in Milwaukee is having a tough time of it. And but she did say they'll be back next year. And again, that's an event that's had a heavy foreign influence in its fields here the last few years. So it's really neat to hear that Justin Rose is doing that. And, you know, you're talking about an entire purse for these events of $125,000 to $150,000. So, you know, on the one hand, it's, I'm sure, doable for a lot of these guys who have profited quite well from their PGA Tour careers to be able to do this. But, you know, it's another thing to pull the trigger on it. And I think the one thing we're seeing, though, Gary, is we're seeing golfers helping golfers at all levels trying to get through this. And we're seeing a lot of lemonade being made out of lemons, aren't we?
Yeah, we are, Rob. And, you know, this is the first I heard about the PHC Classic. I did not know that, Rob. But, you know, Potawatomi just reopened last week with very stringent rules, no gaming tables, no bingo. You know, you have to be a Firekeepers member to even go to the casino, and you have to call in advance and reserve, you know, a time that you can come, and it's only slot machines, and of course they're socially distanced. So yeah, I think the casinos have had a very, very tough time, but I guess I'm not really surprised at the cancellation, but it's the first I heard of it.
Yeah, and I think there might be one more. She said the number that they were given was that there will be 10, and while she didn't think they were going to wrap around the season like they are in the developmental tours and the PGA Tour, well, at least on the Corn Ferry Tour, because the Canadian Tour has been canceled. but they were going to give the top five finishers from those 10 events LPGA Tour status for 2021. But, you know, again, so many things have changed here that, and really, I think the rules are going to continue to change just because you don't know if all these events will get played, and especially if we have another spike in COVID-19 cases, come the fall. And again, that's when a lot of these events have been rescheduled for. I mean, the Symetra Tour now goes into November. You talked about the Corn Ferry Tour event in Illinois being now into September. You know, this is a time when a lot of, in most years, you know, these tours would not be, you know, active because they would already have been past the playoffs for the tours they feed into, and they'd be on to their qualifying tours for the next, or schools for the next year. So it is very, very different here as we look at the landscape of competitive golf. Gary, before we came on our podcast, another thing that's different is we're getting used to this whole live scoring from Wisconsin PGA events, and a time-honored event on the docket today is the Horning Classic up at South Hills Golf and Country Club in Fond du Lac, and I'll refresh my leaderboard. You can do the same. Currently,
I'm doing it.
currently through six holes up at South Hills, Thomas Burton of Hidden Glen in Cedarburg leading Craig Joy, Blake Jens, Scott Lemire, Charlie Brown, Matt Tocken, Matthew Reel, Ryan Hellman, and Jim Gaugert, Daniel Hoffman, and Matt Kennedy by one shot. Thomas Burton, 2 under through six holes. I love this. Live scoring of section events. This is the new norm, and I love it, Gary.
And this is an important one-day event because it's a qualifier for the Wisconsin PGA Match Play, Rob, which was canceled earlier this year. So there's a lot at stake. They're playing for a couple different reasons. To try to get their name up on that leaderboard for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So, and that's one of the events that's going on this week. We've updated our calendar at wisconsin.golf. If you go down to latest tournament results and you click on the calendar, I tell you, there've been a whole host of events. We were going to write about this way back in February. A number of junior tours are coming into the state of Wisconsin to compete over the weekend. The Mid-America Junior Golf Tour had an event down at Bristol Oaks near Kenosha. And Grace Suter of Oconomowoc, who's been working down at the David Ledbetter Academy of all places in Florida, she graduated early from Oconomowoc. And she is taking the next year, apparently, to explore her competitive options collegiately and see what one more year of working on her game down in Florida might be able to get her in terms of once college golf gets the opportunity to sort itself out. So she won that event over the weekend, a 36-holer, and there's now another 36-holer starting today down at Kenosha Country Club. We've had a number of senior tour events on the WSGA schedule canceled. In fact, all of them this year have been canceled. They were to have played one today down at the Legend at Brandybrook in Wales. And we've got... Later on in the week, the first WPGA Junior Tour event will be at Janesville Riverside. And so that'll be something to look forward to. And then we start having qualifiers this week, Gary, for the WSGA State Match Play. One down at Watertown and a couple up at Lasonia and one over at Morningstar. So kind of neat to see those things get going. I'm just tickled to have golf on the schedule, aren't you?
Oh, without a doubt. It's been a long wait, Rob, for this. And the tour starting up again, very exciting. And state golf, we're going to be really busy, Rob, from now until probably the end of August, or actually the end of September now. Hopefully the Ryder Cup gets played at the end of September. So we're going to be busting for content on Wisconsin.golf, no doubt about it.
And since we talked last week, Gary, you had the great story on the winner of the Tournament of Champions in Sheboygan. Truly a Cinderella story. Tell us a little bit about Jake Schwartz.
Yeah, Jake Schwartz is a member at Riverdale, so he had some home course advantage. But I don't know if people went on our website, wisconsin.golf, and saw the photo of Jake at Impact. You can tell just by looking at that photo that he hammers the golf ball. So I'm sure those par fives are par fours for him out there. And hasn't been playing much on the tournament scene, sort of a newcomer to tournament golf, played college basketball at Lakeland and was a very good player and wanted to play professionally overseas, but injured his knee and never panned out. And So he's been working on his golf game, and he's one of those guys who was able, Rob, to go from a 5 handicap to a +2 over a period of 6 or 7 years, which is, as we all know, is very hard to do. And sort of surprised the field by shooting a 65 and winning the Tournament of Champions. And Rob, it wasn't even his best round this year. He shot a 63 earlier this year. So he can obviously take it deep.
Unbelievable. Yeah, we've seen unique takeaways. Jim Furyk comes to mind. But that picture of Jake Schwartz at Impact is one that I think gained a lot of eyeballs. When you see that impact and the angle that he's coming at the golf ball, and then you see that he shot a 65, I think we may have a lot of people trying to start tweaking their swing to be more like Jake. Gary, also on our site this week, we mentioned last week you had your review of the Club at Lac La Belle, which of course is our sponsor here of Talking.Golf. The Club at Lac La Belle currently has a 9-hole loop open, and as we sit here on June the 8th, our countdown to the grand opening of all 18 holes is under 2 weeks. It's 12 days away, Gary, and so we're looking forward to that. You got to look at it. It's worth putting on the docket for the summer, isn't it?
It really is, Rob. I think it's going to find a niche in that very busy Lake Country golf area where there's, you know, a lot of good golf courses and some very excellent private courses, but I think the club at Lac La Belle is going to find a nice spot, a sweet spot there in that area because it's a golf-rich area, and it's sort of between the private clubs and some of the more affordable public golf out there. It's a great layout. It's got the course has a ton of history behind it. You know, opened in 1896, and Willie Anderson and Alex Smith, who combined to win 6 U.S. Opens in the early days of the U.S. Open, were club pros there. So it's got a great history, a great new layout designed by Craig Haltom, and the Morse family has put a lot of money into this place, and I think it's going to turn out to be very good.
We also have coming up this week, we resume our series Hidden Gems with Dennis McCann, and he takes us to that hidden gem up in Eagle River Golf Course, one of the great public municipal golf courses in the state of Wisconsin, also probably the northernmost, Nemadji up in Superior is probably the northernmost, but Eagle River, a favorite of many for many, many years, and you can look for that later this week as well. Dennis has also been busy keeping tabs on the Bullet Pine Hearst Farms. At the last minute again, Gary, another offer, this one for $2.2 million presented to the bank before it was supposed to be sold at auction on June 23rd. We don't know who the prospective buyer is, but this one has had more twists and turns than some of the fairways out at the Bull, and so we continue to monitor that. What do you make of what Dennis wrote last week? Do you think we're any closer to seeing the Bull open up this year?
I'm holding my breath, Rob. You know, there's another owner who has stepped forward with an offer. I believe it's $2.2 million, which is considerably lower than what is owed the bank and is considerably lower than the previous offer that was withdrawn. So I'm hoping this one goes forward. I think everyone who has played the Bull and knows about it wants to see that golf course open and remain a golf course. It's one of the best ones in the state for sure.
And the silver lining, and not to, you know, make fun of the situation at all, but the kind of being drawn out is the fact that every time that Dennis writes about the Bull at Pinehurst Farms, we're able to showcase another piece of photography from our friend Niall Young at Killarney Golf Media. And Niall's got a great collection of photos, and this one of one of the water holes with the great sand trap lining the green was another gem. And I hope that we get to see this course looking like this and being open to the public here very, very soon. But again, like all these things of this nature, we just kind of have to let time take its course on that one. Gary, we continue to have our Senior Spotlight Series. This morning we posted a quick 9 with Bayport's Preston Cedergren. And we've got more all the way through next Tuesday, which would have been the second day of the WIAA State Tournament. Some of the responses have been classic. I think a lot of people who may not understand the importance of the van ride in high school golf has gotten to understand what great times those can be. And I got to say, they're SUVs now, Gary, But I've got friends who played high school golf for the late great Roger Wiebe at Madison West, who, you know, was the coach of many of their, what is it, 14 or 15 state titles that at one point had them in a foot race with Jack Nicklaus's alma mater at Upper Arlington, Ohio High School. And back then, though, Roger drove a vehicle that would best be described as the Brady Wagon. And so the transportation modes have changed, but the meaning of getting to a tournament has not. And you can continue to look at these great comments from some of our great seniors around the state of Wisconsin. All of them finished high at the state tournament last year. That's how they were chosen to participate in this. And so that continues here all week. And last but not least, Gary, I wanted to save this one for the end because it really drew a lot of reaction last week around the globe. U.S. Ryder Cup captain Steve Stricker says that as of last Monday, a decision on the 2020 Ryder Cup could be coming within 2 to 3 weeks. So now 1 to 2 weeks, maybe even sooner. And he thinks playing without fans would be a yawner. I love that description because it sure would be. My dad was a library director. And so a lot of my references to places of quiet have to do with libraries. But when I was covering high school sports, the other one that was deathly quiet was gymnastics meets, of course, you know, with all the focus and attention with kids, you know, flipping through the air. I don't want the Ryder Cup to be a trip to the library. Do you?
No. And Steve's description of calling it a yawner, I think, is got a lot of reaction because a lot of people have said they don't want to see it played without fans, but no one has sort of gone to the extreme that Steve did. And but he's right. It would not be the same event. The fans make that event, or at least they have over the last couple of decades. And so we'll find out. Rob, I suspect we might have some news by the end of this week, so we'll have to stay tuned.
Yeah, I would. We were supposed to have talked to Steve, Gary and I, on a Zoom call last week as part of you know, they were going to make him available on day one of what would have been the American Family Insurance Championship, and that got canceled. So we thought something might be coming soon. Haven't heard anything yet. Again, I think everyone is kind of, you know, eagerly awaiting. I think, Gary, am I right? Golf fans in Wisconsin are waiting and probably hoping that a postponement to 2021 happens so that those who have tickets can actually use them. We've been waiting for this for a long time, and I think unless there's plans to bring it back to Whistling Straits within the next 10 years, and I don't think that's going to happen because it's pretty much farmed out for that duration, I just don't think you're doing right by Wisconsin golf fans to not have fans on the property the week of the Ryder Cup.
No, Steve called it a crime if that were to occur. And again, that was as good a comment as the honor comment. It wouldn't be a crime, but it would be a devastating. It would be wrong not to have fans there. And you're right, these Wisconsin fans who are going to pack that course, hopefully, if not this year, hopefully next year. I suspect I'm starting to get a gut feeling that it's going to be, pushed back till 2021. So, we'll have to wait and see. But you can't play without fans. That's for sure.
And I think to wrap this up, I mean, there were a lot of things that were canceled last week in Wisconsin, including Summerfest, you know, which had been postponed to September. That's now off. It just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of our normal Wisconsin summertime activities being held this year, at least not of that nature.
Yeah, and that's another reason I think, you know, we're going into September with cancellations in other areas now. That's another reason my gut tells me that we won't be playing the Ryder Cup this year. Hopefully we'll know within a week or so, but I'm starting to get the gut feeling we're going to see it postponed a year up.
Well, I'm just glad that we're getting some events played, and Gary, I'm going to let you get back to your Horning Classic leaderboard, and you can see that Matt Takken of Tuckaway, I hope I pronounced that right. Is it Takken or Takken?
It's Takken.
Takken, okay. Matt Takken of Tuckaway Country Club has now gotten to 2 under through 3 holes, and he has caught Thomas Burton at the top of the leaderboard. I just like saying top of the leaderboard. I like saying somebody's gotten to 2 under through 3, and we've seen it on the Outlaw Tour with Neil Johnson. We got to watch it remotely last week with Tess Hackworthy at the Colorado Women's Open, but it sure is nice to see live scoring and live events here in Wisconsin. And again, the Hornings Classic up in Fond du Lac going on all day up there. And as Gary mentioned earlier, qualifier for the WPGA match play process that will then continue, Gary, throughout the summer. It looks like now all rounds will be played between golfers on their own. It didn't seem like there's going to be a set location for those, even those first and second rounds, does there?
No, I think you're right about that. They'll arrange all the match play rounds themselves. And Rob, I'd be remiss if I didn't say you missed an opportunity to say that Matt has taken the lead.
Oh my goodness! Well, thanks for bailing me out, Gary. I'm hoping that Matt will someone will tell him to listen to this so he could hear that. He's a great guy. I met him last year. He was starting at the WPGA Junior Championship, and he is right now dueling with Thomas Burton of Hidden Glen, up there at South Hills, and that is always one of the great events. Michael O'Reilly of Black Wolf Run is on the leaderboard at 1 under. I tell you, Gary, this is just if you're listening this deep into the podcast, you know we're golf geeks, and you know that we are serious when we say we're going to be watching this leaderboard the rest of the day. Gary, I'll let you get going with that. It's been a pleasure, and we'll talk again next week.
Sounds good, Rob. Thank you.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, I am Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, one of the oldest and most beautiful golf courses in Wisconsin. The course was recently restored and recreated for a unique golf experience for both members and non-members. Lac La Belle is located in Oconomowoc, a convenient distance between Madison and Milwaukee. The semi-private golf club's grand opening is just a few days away, June the 20th. You can find out more on its website at club@laclabelle.com. We'll talk again next week.